We're going to talk about Psalm 91 protection. We're going to specifically talk about the protection of angels. Psalm 90, let's go to Psalm chapter 4 first. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Then we're going to go to Psalm 91. Let's go and read together. I'm going to read a King James version. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makes me dwell in safety. Thou only, Lord only, makes me dwell in safety. This over here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the King James Version, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, this know also that in the last days, we believe these are the latter days. Might not be the last day, but we're in the last days. It says, perilous times shall come. Well, what does perilous times mean? We're going to find out in a minute. What I want to get across to you as a message this morning, people, is that God will protect you and us, his family, his children, his church. God will protect you from all evil. That's the message I want to bring across today. Let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians first. If you've got your Bible, we're going to read about 2 Thessalonians. And the Bible talks about over here, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica because these people were in fear because they thought they missed the rapture. And so Paul had to write a second letter to the church at Thessalonica because there was people going around saying negative things and causing a lot of harm, causing a lot of distress, a lot of strain, a lot of mental anguish to people because these people thought they missed the ship, so to speak. And so Paul had to write a second letter indicating to them that everything's going to be okay. And so, same like today, there's people going around telling negative stuff. If you watch too much television, you're going to get messed up emotionally. And if you watch, you have to be spiritually mature on the inside. You got to have a strong spiritual disposition to withstand negativity. Even then, you shouldn't be watching a lot of negativity. So I don't always watch everything. I watch what I need to watch. I watch what comes in my mind because when things get in your mind, they start getting into your spirit. Build your heart. Get in the Word first in the morning. Stay in the Word and then read what you need to read just to understand about things. Say, for instance, you want to know what's happening in Thunder Bay, you know, around your house, who's being, how many people have been affected by this sickness. Stuff like that and what the government's going to do. You might want to watch some of that, but keep looking at all the negativity, everything that is hurting people. Don't always be looking at that. See some things what's necessary. But so in that time, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul was writing a letter to these people because they were shook up. And let's go to read over here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Now, this is what you need to pray for pastor in the church or your leader or your pastor or your leader, wherever, whoever he is or she is. Pray that the word of the Lord from that person has free course and that and be glorified even as it has with you. You know, the word that has impacted you, the word that we preach here from Faith City Church, the word that comes from Spirit Alive Television, pray that this word will continue to have free course, that it will be dispersed without any interruption, without any kind of hindrance. Pray that today. Pray, said Pastor Roma, Spirit Alive Television, Faith City Church, we're preaching the gospel out in the way, in the degree, even greater than it was before. Let's go to verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Paul is saying that there are people that are unreasonable and wicked. And so we need to pray protection from unreasonable and wicked men. You need to pray that this ministry, this pastor, these leadership, be safe from the attacks of unreasonable men or women that would try to hinder and say things and come across us because we're on television or we're preaching the gospel or whoever it is, even can be somebody maybe in the higher ups. Pray in the name of Jesus. We pray against that. We do not permit that to happen. And, you know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I believe it's Isaiah 54:17. Nothing, no evil shall befall us. Nothing, no evil. And also it says here, and have over here, for all men have not faith. He's talking about not everybody has the kind of faith that God has given you since you become born again. When you become born again, God has given you supernatural faith. Now, everybody in the world has some kind of faith. Everybody can have faith. But it's the supernatural faith that God gives his own children when they are born again. Just like when you get born again, you automatically receive the nature of God. And contained in the nature of God are all the elements that will make us his children. And faith is one of the things in our hearts that makes us distinguishable from a regular somebody who's not a child of God. And so we believe what the Bible says. This is what the Word says. Not everybody has faith or the kind of faith that you and I have. So we pray with that supernatural faith. Now, here's a verse that we want to get to, verse 3. And it says, but the Lord is faithful, thank God, who shall establish you. That's what we need to be established. And keep you from evil. And so Paul is telling them that the Lord is faithful. Everybody say that at home, wherever you are. Say, the Lord is faithful. Say that to yourself. The Lord is faithful. And say that he will establish me, or say that he has established me. He'll make me strong. He'll make me stable. Say that to yourself, that the Lord has made me stable. Praise God. Amen. And so he'll keep you from all, and say this, he'll keep me from all evil. And just lift your hands up and say, he'll keep me from all evil. Everything. There's no evil will come near you. Begin to pray that. Begin to believe it. Said, no evil shall befall me. You'll see different scriptures like that. No evil. Nothing. Not even words. Not even the words of people will come near you. Not even the evil speeches of people speaking against you. In the name of Jesus, they'll fall to the ground. The Bible says in Isaiah that every word that's spoken against you will fall to the ground and die. Thank God for that. Amen. So as God's children, we are not to be fearful in these troubled times because he has already covered us. Nothing in this life is a surprise to God. Although many people perhaps feel that way because they're not familiar with God's protection or God's ways, God has planned out all our safety. He's planned it out, believe it or not. I would say you believe it. He's planned out all our safety issues and everything for this life for us to be victorious. The Bible says he has covered us that our lives, no matter what comes our way, our lives are protected, no matter what we face, man, beast, or spirit. The psalmist said he gives his angels charge over us for our protection. I'd like to share with you some Bible verses that are along this line to help us be more familiar with God's safety in terms of referring to for angelic protection. I want to share that in a few minutes. So here's what our text says. I will lay me, Psalm 4:8 says, I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. No, you have to understand, he says, I'll lay me down both to be in peace and to sleep. He didn't say, I'm going to lay down and worry all night long and tremble in my bed and sweat and have anxiety attacks throughout the night. No, he said, I'm going to lay down in peace and be safe. That's what God wants for all of us. We'll sleep in peace. We're not going to sleep agitated and bombarded, bothered by negative thoughts. The Lord makes me to live safely. So let's look at another text again, the other text, 2 Timothy 3:1. It said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. This means that dangerous times are before us right now. God, by his Spirit, is speaking. What he was speaking to those people then is applicable to us today. He says there that these dangerous times, perilous times shall come. These dangerous times are before us. People are being killed and destroyed right now, maybe right down the road from you, wherever you're living. Murderers and thieves are all about in the world, and maybe near your community, maybe closer than you think. Maybe there's a drug dealer that are scary people down your road, maybe next door to you, you can't get rid of them. And there's stuff going on. You know it. You can't investigate yourself, but you know something's going on there, and you can't do anything about it. But God can. We don't have to have a whole pile of scriptures to show us that there are dangers in this world. We can just look around us right now and see all the dangers. But we're talking about God's protection. And you have to talk about, when you talk about protection, you have to talk about what he's protecting us from. And so I'm just reminding you that there are these things wherever you are and disturbing your peace. And God wants you to be in peace. Let's look at other translations for 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read the Amplified Classical Edition. He says there, you know, it's good to see other Bible translations to get a good picture of what the scripture says, because not always you can understand the King James unless God gives you real enlightenment, spiritually on some issues. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's why we study. Sometimes God gives you a light on certain areas of subject, and you'll see it more clearly. We've been praying this morning. We prayed that everyone's eyes, your spiritual eyes, will be open this morning. That's what we prayed. One of the things we prayed. I use other Bible translations for the purpose to have clarity. It doesn't change the meaning or the translation. It just gives you another shade of expression. And so, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:1, the Amplified Classical. But understand this, that in the last days will come, or set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. That's what it is right now. Everybody's having a hard time. There's great stress going all around. You might not see it, but you can just almost sense it sometimes. And trouble. And this COVID-19 has caused a lot of trouble for lots of lives. A lot of people's out of work. People getting sick. People dying. We can't travel anywhere. We're restricted with our movements. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening. People can't come out of communities, can't go into communities. Families can't see each other. You can't hug. You have to be a hockey stick away from somebody. I'm talking Canadian lingo here. So you can't just go wherever you want to go. And this sickness that we cannot see is there, you know, around, that people are afraid. They're wearing gloves and masks. And, you know, I went to the store yesterday. I see some people have masks on, and there's pros and cons about what they're saying about the mask and gloves and sanitation. And when my wife came back from in the shopping, she had to rub her hands with that stuff again. The protective ointment that they use. And so it says, so great stress and trouble and hard to deal with times are before us, according to the classical edition here of the Amplified. The Common English Bible says dangerous times. The New American Standard Version says grievous times. You know, people are having grievous times. It says, Darby translation says difficult times. The Orthodox Jewish Bible says terrible times. God's Word translation says violent periods of times. So you can see these are expressions. These are difficult, very difficult times. So we want you to know that you and I, as God's children, we live at God's house. And there's something peculiar and different that makes us distinct from other kinds of people. We're just not your normal everyday guy, so to speak. We are God's children. God takes care of all his children. He's a good father. He's a good parent. Now, it's always safe at mom and dad's home, you know. And the Bible says that we are in the house of God. We live in the house of God. You know, it's always safe at mom and dad's home. But let me just tell you a little story here, a little testimony. When I was a young boy, I used to sleep at my grandma's home. You know, she used to live a few miles, maybe 3 or 4 kilometers away from me. After she moved out from our little community, we moved into another level community area in our reserve community, First Nation. And I used to go and stay at her place for safety. Because, you know, when I was growing up, there's various times in my home, there was lots of disruption because my parents were chronic alcoholics. They drank whenever they can, and they drank their troubles away. And we little kids were being left alone for some time. You know, I don't like saying that about my parents. They weren't always like that. They were good people at one point. But when alcohol and addictions took over their lives, the whole place went into disruption. It seemed like, to me as a child, it seemed like it was all my life that happened. It impacted my life. Every weekend, I hated weekends. I hated special holidays. I hated all these special events. Even today, I don't like going to these big things, you know, when they're having these big parties or whatever. I still have sometimes these memories come up, but I've been able to get free from it. But the memories are still there, but they don't impact me like they used to. So when my parents would have wild parties, they were abusing alcohol. So I would go from that supposedly safety environment and went to my grandmother's, who didn't ever drink in her life. She never smoked a drink in her life. And I would go to her place and stay there, and I would be safe. And so I felt safe there, and I fled there because of I wanted to be safe. And I would sleep there and have a nice time, and I felt close to my grandmother. We call her Granny. And so the Bible says, you know, it's like Granny's house. You know, there's safety. I knew people would, alcoholics or what, wouldn't come to my grandmother's because she would keep me safe, keep them away. No one would come knock on our door, and no one would try to break our door down because Granny was there. For some reason, she's an elder in the community. She had respect. Nobody would get there. And, I mean, she didn't have any booze to give them anyway. And so they wouldn't come there. So I would be safe. And so the Bible says that if we dwell in God's house, we'll have complete protection. So let's look at Psalm 91 once again. Psalm 91 is our protection psalm. Verse 1 says, "He that dwells in a secret place of the Most High," the King James Version, "of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, we need to study and learn and look at the book of Psalms and learn about God's divine protection in our lives. We need to see that God protects us in times of difficulty. And so let me just look here. I want to go to... you know, let's just go back for a second here. You know, we live at God's house. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That verse, you know, that any normal family, home is the safest place you want to be. Like I said, when I was young, I used to go to sleep at my grandmother's place because it felt safer than my own home because of what was happening there. My grandmother's home was a place of safety to get away from all the wild and violent parties that I had to endure as a young child. And I suffered greatly with PTSD because of all the things I witnessed and a lot of the stuff that I can't mention on television because it was very, very hurtful and it just really messed me up really badly and it affected me for a very, very long time in my young adulthood. And home is supposed to be a safe place. But when things get rough, people sometimes leave home and they get lost. And like myself, I got lost somehow. Home wasn't safe anymore. And addictions took full-fledged in my home. So like I said, the Bible says that we can go to God's house, and now you and I as a child of God, we can go to God's house and find safety from every evil thing, both physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional. God says, "I'm going to heal your whole body." And those of you that are watching online right now, if you've been impacted by PTSD, God will heal you from PTSD. God will heal you. He'll steal your nerves. He'll renew your strength. He will get that nagging feeling of anxiety in your stomach and on your mind and get rid of it. God will heal you today. I promise you right now, according to the Word of God, He will touch you and heal you from every single impact that has touched your life, as God promised. So as I mentioned, the Psalm 91 is our protection psalm. We know that Jesus is our protector. Let's go to Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 23, the classical edition of the Amplified, says, "The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me." And He says, "I shall not lack." You're not gonna lack for any kind of feeding, or God's gonna feed you both spiritually and physically. God's gonna guide you. If you got no direction, about what you need to do now, God, by His Holy Spirit inside you, is going to guide you. He says, God will shield me. He'll shield you from any source of evil that will disrupt your life. That's what Psalm 23 says. Psalm 23 is the psalm of our day. It is the believer's psalm that is living right now in this age. Psalm 23 talks about Jesus, our great shepherd. He is here to protect us and to protect us from and feed us and guide us and do whatever you need. He said, I shall not lack. So you today, my friend, my brother and sister, need to say, I will not lack. I will not lack for food. I will not lack for material possession. I will not lack for safety. I will not lack for any kind of need of any sort. You need to make that a confession of your faith today. Now let's go to Psalm 91 again and read. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God will protect you. We need to learn and study from Psalm 91 and learn and apply what God says about His protection over your life. What does God's Word say about your personal protection, especially in these difficult times? We must read and meditate and make the psalm our confession of faith from every attack of the enemy. Personalize the psalm. Say where it says he, say he. Where it says God, say he. Or where it says, something, a pronoun that refers to you. Where it says I, say, refer to yourself. For example, let's look at this. Psalm 91:1. I dwell in the secret place of my God, my Father. I abide under the shadow of my Father. You know, little children, if they're afraid, if you ever go to a mall and you see children with their parents, they kind of slide under their parents' leg. I remember one time we were in the store with my wife and I, we were with our two young daughters. They were just tiny. Natasha, I think, might have been about 2 years old, maybe three. And we were there, and there was a fellow there in the shopping. He had the same kind of almost similar clothing to what I had, and then suddenly she was grabbing the other dad's leg, thinking it was mine. And then when she noticed it wasn't me, she was so embarrassed. So, but little children will go to their parents, and for their protection, they'll go under beside their leg and get protected. So, Psalm 91, 1 and 2 said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I will save the Lord. That's what you have to say. You need to say, this is what I'm going to save the Lord. You say, Jesus or God is my refuge. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. This is what I said. God, I want to thank You that You said in Your Word that You're my Father. You're my Lord. You're my God. And You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. In You do I put my trust. I put my faith in You, Lord, every day. Today I put my faith in You again. Say it to yourself. Dwells means you live in God 24/7. In that secret place, the Bible says the devil is looking for us, but he can't find us. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour." Notice this, verse 8. Seeking whom he may devour. He may devour, or he's seeking. He's seeking you. He's not going to find you. But why? Because you're under the protection, according to the psalm, under the protection of God Almighty's arms. Under His wings, you will find protection. The devil cannot find you. He says that he may devour. May devour says that because it's up to you to stay under that protection. It's up to you to continue to make that confession. It's up to you to say that God is your protector and stay close to God. Now, if you're going to wander off on your own and do stuff under your own flesh, your own fleshy desires, and get into trouble, God's protection is not there, and you're going to get in trouble when you run away from God. Get back to God. I had a lady yesterday calling me, or at least messaged me, saying that she'd been close to her father, her her pastor, but she indicated to me she wanted to touch base with me, so I gave some messages and told that person, get back to God, get back to His protection. And we don't have to be devoured if we stay within the divine protection of God's house. We need to stay within God's security system. God has built a security system for us. The devil is looking for us, but he can't find us because we are hidden within the walls of protection of God's house, according to the scripture. Does it really matter what you say about life, what you say about your life right now? Does it really matter that what you say about God's divine protection, or whether or not you say something about it? You need to understand that God has set up a security system for us for our protection. The writer of Psalm 91 says that we must confess His word. Confessing His word is applying it to our lives. When you confess the word of God, when you say, I say the Lord, He is my protector. No, you know, now that this, you're applying this to your life. Many people, including Christians, say that God is causing these difficult situations, such as this COVID 91 or COVID, 19, to teach us a lesson. You know, they say that COVID is something that God's done that, or somehow for some reason that He's trying to teach us something. He's causing a curse. I mean, there's always been a curse. The Bible says there's a curse of the law. Sure is a curse of the law. But God's not cursing us. The Bible says that God laid our curses on Jesus on the cross. He took the curses to the cross and died and went to hell for you and rose the third day victorious. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's what He did with any kind of curse. Deuteronomy 28 says in verse 61, every sickness and every disease is a curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. But Galatians over in the New Testament, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ bought us back with the price of His sacrifice of His body and His blood. He bought us back and cleansed us with His blood. You see different scriptures like that in the New Testament. He cleanses us, washes us pure, and we stand holy and protected before our Heavenly Father right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when someone dies, say for instance, a young person or even an old man in a car accident, they say that God took that person. God took him. Well, no, I don't think God. I mean, God's going to take them when they die, but He didn't do that to take them. Either they went off and did something on their own, they were not careful, and the devil took advantage of it, and perhaps even the devil set it up. But God doesn't go around hurting people to teach them a lesson or teach us a lesson. No, it's the devil running around hurting people. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes around to kill, steal, and destroy. Is there any killing, stealing going around, destroying going around, you know? Well, the devil is the one that's causing that. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. God wants you to have abundant life. And of course, this is not living an abundant life, living under sickness and disease. Now let's look at something here. You can either shorten your life or lengthen your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, I'm reading the King James Version. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall he add to thee. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, my son or daughter or my child or, you know, or my family or my church, forget not my law. Don't forget God's law. Why? But let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, you meditate on this. Keep God's commandments, or keep God's commandments. He says, this law, this word, the law of the word is the word of God, for length of days and long life. Length of days and long life. Not short life, long life. Not short days, but length of days. Your full long life, your full length of your days. Long life and peace, not disruption, not anguish, not anxiety, peace shall they add to thee. When you begin to go to the Bible and read scriptures and meditate on them, learn them, memorize them, meditate them, talk to yourself about them in the nighttime, in bed, wherever you're walking, going through the town, going somewhere, meditate on the word, talk to yourself about the word. That's what meditate means, you know, not sitting like this. Well, that might be for some people, but meditation is just chewing the word, talking to the word, talking to yourself about the word of God to yourself continually. Say it to yourself over and over sometimes you have to, until it gets right down in your spirit, until it becomes a part of you, like you're eating food and chewing that food and it goes down in your spirit, becomes a part of your whole system. They'll add to you, God will add to your long life. God will add to your peace. You want peace? Well, get to the word. Don't forget the word and get to the word right now. It'll add peace to you. Psalm 91 says, with long life will he satisfy us. Psalm 91, 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 says, when we respect our parents, our mom and dad, honoring our parents, God will extend your life. You know, many of us in the past didn't respect our parents. You know, I want to honor my parents today. You know, my parents were always very good, but they had issues like I had issues. You know, I said I'd never be like my parents. I became worse than my parents. And the Bible says that's a curse. I became worse than them. My mom and dad never went to jail, but I did. And so on. A lot of things happened in my life. And so it's possible to live a long, happy life and die without sickness or disease. And we can die satisfied. Psalm 91, 16 says, he said he satisfies us with long life. You know, sometimes I heard of a man of God that I trust. You know, he said, you know, there was an older woman, 89 years old, dying of cancer. She was a Christian minister, evangelist. She was dying sick in bed, and they went over to minister to her. And she says, just let me die. And that minister, the man that I admire very much, says, I'm not going to do it. Let God heal you and then die. Don't die like this. This is not glorifying God as a minister of the gospel. And so let me pray for you. So they prayed for that old woman of 89 years old, laid hands on her, and she's healed. And the funny thing, after she is healed, she didn't want to die. Hallelujah. So she got off from there and began to preach the gospel again. 91 years old, driving around, looking and preaching the gospel. Glory to God. That's what God said. Here's what the Bible said about King David. 1 Chronicles 29, 26 to 28, the Common English Bible says it. David, Jesse's son, was king over all Israel. Verse 2, he reigned over Israel 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. Verse 28, he died at a good old age, having enjoyed a full life, wealth, and honor, and his son Solomon followed him in his as king. 2 Chronicles 29, 28, I will say this. Roma Fisher will die in a good old age, King James says, full of riches and honor. Roma Fisher will die in a good old age, full of riches and honor. And I make that my confession. You could do that too. And so, I know what some people say, what if he dies? No, this is my confession. You confess what you need to confess. God has covered us, as we said earlier, Psalm 91 and verse 4, let's look at this. The Bible says God puts a canopy over us. He covers us with his feathers to protect us from the enemy. Here's what the scripture says, Psalm 91, verse 4, the Good News Bible. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect you and defend you. Thank God for his faithfulness, people. He will protect you and defend you. Not only protect you, but defend you. He'll come against whatever's coming against you. You need to say that today. Isaiah 31, verse 5, the Amplified Classical Edition says this about Isaiah 31, verse 5. Like birds hovering, so the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem or the church, or you as a person of the church or his child. He will protect and deliver it, or deliver you. He will pass over and spare and preserve it. You need to make this a personal confession about the scripture. Say this to yourself. The devil sets traps for us to destroy us, but God has already made a plan to keep you from those traps. Psalm 91:3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What is that? A hunter's traps. From the noisome pestilence or the deadly diseases or sicknesses. The fowler is a bird hunter who sets traps. The devil can set traps for us, But the Holy Ghost shows us how to avoid his traps. We need to obey him and follow God. Romans 8:16 says, God's people are led by his Spirit. Not obeying his promptings and his leadings can cause us to run right into the enemy's traps. So listen on the inside of you and begin to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. He's protecting you. He's trying to get you to avoid any traps. Ephesians 6:11 says, the Common English Bible says, put on the armor of God so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. So the devil has tricks. Apparently he has tricks to try to you know, dissolve anything or that the Lord is doing in your life. Here's Psalm 91, or at least Ephesians 6:11, the Jewish Bible says this, use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. Deceptive tactics of the adversary. So the devil is, he'll deceive people. And when you're walking with God, you know, when you're walking with his armor, you can avoid his deception. Ephesians 6:8-11, the God's Word translation says, the devil's strategies, God will deliver you from the devil's strategies. You need to believe that today, folks, that God will deliver you from the devil's strategies. The Common English Bible says, God will save you from the hunter's trap and from deadly sickness. Praise God. You know, this COVID-91 is a deadly sickness. And God's Word says he'll save you from deadly sicknesses. Begin to confess that over your life for your children. We are under his wings. Psalm 91 talks about that. We are under his wings in verse 4. God will protect you under his pinions. Psalm 94, the Common English Bible says, God's Word says he's a refuge and he's your shield and armor right now. You know, we must do our part. If we're going to get protection from God, we must do our part. There's always a part to play in having God's protection in our life. And there's a manward side, someone said, and a Godward side to anything that God says. God's not going to just do it alone. He's given us his word. We have a covenant. We have a relationship. He's going to do his part, and you are going to do your part. So you need to find out what your part is. When we speak God's word, we put the power of God into motion into our lives. We put the things of God into operation for our lives. We need to say we make a confession, like the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord. This is what he says in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. I will say to the Lord, I will say he is my refuge. I will say he is my fortress. I will say he is my guard. I will say I will trust him. In other words, he said, God is my refuge. He's going to keep me safe. God is my fortress. I'm in a place in a protective house where no enemy can come. A fortress is something that you go to, high up, protected with walls, that no enemy can come against you. He's our God. God is Almighty God. He is our God. God Almighty is your Father. He said, in him will I trust. In other words, you put your faith in God. Put your faith in God today. Use your faith and say, faith. How you use faith is with words. You say what the Bible says. Faith operates by words. Faith is activated by words. You need to put that on your status today. My faith has been activated. Or faith is activated by my words. Say that. Put it on your status today. And so there's a part for us to play for avoiding troubles. Let's make a confession today. And not be in fear. So don't be in fear today. Being in fear is a choice that you have to make. So the Bible tells us in Psalm 91, you have to begin to tell yourself, I will not be afraid. You're going to have to make a choice to not be afraid because God is with you. Being in fear is a choice. God wouldn't tell you something that he wouldn't fulfill in your life. He tells you something so that to let you know that what he will do in your life. Let's go here to Psalm 23 in verse 4, the Good News translation. Even though I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid. This is what you need to say. Even though I'm walking through a dark time right now, I will not be afraid. For you, God, you, Lord Jesus, you, by your Holy Spirit, are with me right now. So thank God for the shepherd. His rod will protect you today. His word will protect you. God tells us not to fear anything. Now, notice over here when in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, you know, when an army was besieging, you know, we see this time and time again in the Old Testament. Armies would come against the God's people. Over here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, you know, the Israelites, you know, is a type of a Christian or a type of the church, God's people. You know, we are engrafted into that kingdom of God's family when we receive Jesus. We have been engrafted in. We're the Israelites of God. And so the Bible teaches us that some of people don't understand that. They don't know it because they never studied the Bible. And people say all kinds of things sometimes online, you know. They don't never study the Bible. I've been studying the Bible for over 35 years regularly, and went to school and stuff and learned. And many, many years now I've been studying this. And so people just read the Bible casually. They say all kinds of stuff. And has no bearing on Scripture at all. They just, for instance, somebody called me the other day, and they said, why are people afraid of the sickness and so on, blah, 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 blah. And said, you know, Paul's shadow was healing the sick, and why don't people just go to the hospitals? First of all, they won't let us come in the hospital. And first of all, and third of all, and fifth of all, we can pray no matter where we are. I can pray right here and shoot a good missile of healing power on somebody's house right now by His Spirit. God's Spirit is everywhere. And if you pray something, if you say something from your house, and I can't get to you or somebody can't get to you, we can agree by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is there in you and in your house, in my house, and what we agree on, it'll happen. Thank God for that. He says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when you go to fight your enemies and face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. Now, this little army is looking at these other greater armies, and maybe you're looking at something greater than yourself. God says, do not be afraid. Whatever is greater than you, naturally speaking, God says, do not be afraid of it. He says in there, the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, or the Lord your God who brought you out of destruction, your destructive life, your alcoholism, your addiction, your abusive situation, your life as a pauper, as a street person, is with you. The same God who delivered you out of that, He's going to protect you. Hallelujah. That's great. Great to know. Fear will open the door to what you're afraid of. Your fears will open the doors to the enemy's attacks. Notice what Job says in Job chapter 3, verse 25, he says, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has come upon you. In other words, whatever you're afraid of is going to come to your house. Fear will open the door to your family. Fear will open the door to your children. Fear will open the door to your own physical home. Faith shuts the door. Fear. Here's what Proverbs 10:24 says, King James Version. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. You know, we need to not be afraid. We're not the wicked. We're the righteousness of God. We are in the family of God. You know, maybe you're the righteousness of God. Maybe you've made mistakes and you caused some trouble, but God will forgive you right now, wherever you are. Say, God, forgive me, and move on. So there's a whole pile of things that the Bible says over here in Psalm 91. We carry on verse 6. He says, will not be afraid, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee or near thee. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Verse 10, no evil shall befall thee, none, Neither shall any plague, only disease, sickness shall come nigh your dwelling. No sickness is allowed to come in your home. No plague, no deadly disease shall come near your living space. You can believe that whatever disease is going around won't come near you or your house. We have to believe because that's what God says. Now let's talk about quickly for angelic protection, the last few minutes we have here. Angels is another way beside God covering you with his wings under his shadow and living in his house. And sometimes, you know, we are to kind of go different places where God will protect you. Sometimes you have to go into the enemy's area to rescue people. Sometimes you have to go to enemy's area to do some work. And sometimes you have to get out of your house and go to the mall to buy something. You might have to go to your house and go to the store to buy food for your family during this time. Maybe you have to go to a part of the city that has been known for violence and robberies. Maybe you might have to go there. Maybe you have a business in the area where there's more violence and you work there. But God will protect you with his angels. Glory to God. He'll protect you wherever you need to go today. If you have to fly somewhere, he said, I'm breathing in that same air. No, God will protect you wherever you go, where you need to be. Now, we don't violate laws, but we know that when we have to do something, God's angels will protect you. So God gives us protection through his angels. They are powerful beings who hold off the enemy's attacks, protect us from any of his tactics. Psalm 91:11. We're still in Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The classical edition, the Amplified Bible says, for he'll give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend you and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. You know, as long as we're serving God, we're doing something, God will always protect you. Sometimes, you know, if you're going to work, you're working, say you're a child of God and you're working in areas that may be dangerous, and you're a vital link to your church, you're a vital link to your pastor, you're giving financially, you're giving, helping with your skill, and you're praying for your church, you're praying for your pastor, praying for the ministry, and you're a vital link to the church. The Bible says here, he'll defend you and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. If you're a good service to church, to the body of Christ, God will defend you. If you have to work in an area where there's going to be, something that might hurt you. And I pray that all the people of God that are working out there, wherever you are, don't be afraid of contracting any disease because God will protect you. There's going to be a shield over you and his angels will be there to ward off any disease. The Amplified says that, so let's read it. The King James, they shall bear you with their hands, lest you dash against your foot, against a stone, Psalm 91:12. Psalm 91, the classical verse 12 says, they shall bear you up with their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's mighty protection. God will charge his angels a directive to protect you wherever you go, when you travel down the road, in bad weather or bad areas of your city or bad areas of the world, or where animals run across the road, maybe a moose. You know, one guy told me once, he said to me, you know, Pastor Roma, I'm driving down the road and it's late at night. I'm trying to get home. It's late at night. The moon was out. It was dark as well. And clouds would come in, couldn't see very good. He said, I'm driving down the road and suddenly I heard a voice said, slow down. And he said, I slowed down right away, and there was a big moose on the road. And God's voice was speaking to that man to preserve his life. That's protection. Who knows? Could have been an angel said that. And so Psalm 91, 11, and 12, the New Living says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot against a stone. So you can claim complete protection. Believe it. Don't just say, oh, I'll have an accident, all right, but I'll just have a little scratch. No, pray that you'll not even have an accident. Pray that you'll not even go through a skid or anything. Just pray in the name of Jesus, I'm protected. You know, we were driving down Tulsa for the last 30 years, my wife and I, and sometimes huge snowstorm blizzards. And we see cars, trucks everywhere on the side of the road. You know, we've been traveling there for 30 years. We was able to be free and never had an accident. Thank God for his protection. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, New Living Translation says, we're talking about angels. Beware, you don't look down on any one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my Father. So we have angels to protect us from the time we're coming to this world as little children, as babies. We don't lose, or no one loses their angel because they grew up. They are powerful entities, powerful creations of God. And there are different kinds of angels. And also there's angels are a different category of creation than we are. God made angels, and he made angels for us to protect us as well. There are different classes. There are different classes of being. They may even appear like a human being at times, the Bible says. Notice this over here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. He says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. You know, you might have entertained an angel without realizing it. I've had friends who've had angels come close to them and told them different things, and they disappeared in front of their eyes. Angels are servants of God. The scriptures talks about that. I've heard so many stories about angels coming in and protecting people and disappearing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the New Living Translation says this about angels. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. You know, we're the ones who inherited salvation. They're sent to be our servants. They come to serve us. They come to care for us. He's God's people. God loves us so much that he sent angels to protect us. God will sometimes permit you to see your own angel or see angels. Sometimes they will bring you a message from God. I've heard ministers that I know and I've read about, maybe you have, that God sent an angel to tell them something about they had a healing ministry or they had a calling or God wanted to do something for them or don't trust people or whatever it was. God had an angel. God sent an angel. When your life as a child of God is going to impact so many lives, God will send an angel. In the meantime, you don't have to be afraid, you know, if you don't see one because they're there. They are spirit beings, and God has to open your eyes to see them or see one or them. I remember Benny Hinn, when I was following Benny Hinn for many years, I would travel to all his crusades and help out and do whatever I could, and was a partner for many, many years. Benny Hinn told us one time at a Holy Spirit conference over in Florida, he said on one occasion, he said got up one night, he saw angels all over his room, little angels, small angels, big angels, and they were just looking at him. And he looked at them. They were looking at him. I guess they were wondering what he's going to say, what he's going to do. It was like they're waiting for him to say something. And he didn't say, he just looked at them. And God opened his eyes to see the angels. You know, I saw in 2 Kings that God had opened a man of God's eyes to see angels. There was more angels. He said, there's more for us than against that army. If God would open your eyes, you would see angels all around this building right now. All around me, you see my angel beside me right now. You see angels around everywhere. If God would open your eyes, and maybe God is opening somebody's eyes right now. So the angels would appear to this man. I remember Brother Hagin, our spiritual father, Kennedy Hagin. He said an angel appeared to him while he was talking to Jesus one day. He said he had a vision of Jesus, and an angel appeared right there, right behind Jesus, and he was going to talk to him. And he asked, he said, Jesus, who's that? And Jesus said to him, that's your angel. He's got a message from you from heaven. And the angel told him what God wanted him to do. So my friend Mark Davey, if you're watching, I'm going to tell you a story because you told us this when you were in Africa, Northern Africa. Mark Davey, a friend of ours, an evangelist who travels quite frequently across the world, overseas. He said an angel helped him overseas, helped him to locate people, a missionary. So he went to this place, this underground churches. And he said he went to this place trying to find this person or find some information about where to find this location to find this underground church. And he said a man appeared. You have to understand, God will, angels can appear like people. So this man comes out. He says, I know who you're looking for. Follow me. He didn't know whether or not it was a trap. He thought maybe this government was sent an agent, perhaps, trap him and maybe take him to jail. So he went with this guy. They went on this cab and they went everywhere and tried to elude maybe followers, whatever. And when he got to this place of this pastor's church, it's an underground church, and he introduced his pastor, and as the guy was being introduced, that angel disappeared in thin air. Angels there to protect you when you need them. Jesse Duplantis, many people know about Jesse Duplantis. He said they helped him out one time with a flat tire. I mean, God will help you. Whatever you need, if you're stuck, God will send an angel to help you if you need it. People throughout my ministry told me they saw angels even before, when they were dying or something happened to them. They said an angel came and helped them and told them they were going to live, not going to die. Angel brought a message to them. The Apostle John saw angels, the Bible says, and told them not to worship an angel, but to worship God only. The Bible says, John the Revelator. So they are powerful agents. These angels are powerful agents. They're powerful entities. We see in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32 and 36. Let's go to read 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32 and 36. We're coming to an end here. Therefore says the Lord concerning the king Assyria, he shall not come unto the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor to cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same way he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, says the Lord. I will defend the city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it shall come to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp, the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses, so that this king Sennacherib of Assyria departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. We see here that the angels were fighting for the people of God. You know, thank God for angels. There's thousands and thousands upon angels. The Bible says in Psalm 68:17, there are thousands and thousands of angels. Thousands and thousands of angels. Psalm 68:17 that are around helping. They're here to help us anytime when we need it. Thank God for angels today. Psalm 34 and 6 and 7, let me read verse 7. Psalm 34, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, that dwelleth with him. You know, when we worship God, if we're worshipers of God, the Bible said angels camp around you. There's angels camping around your house right now. Thank God. Psalm 103, verse 20, this is how we work the word. This is how angels go to work for you and help you. Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Angels will do the commands of God, the sound of his words. That's why we need to speak the word of life over, speak scriptures over our homes. Angels will hearken unto that voice of the word of God. They follow the will of God, the plan of God, when we speak this over them, over our lives. Psalm, Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14 says that the King James, to which of my angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, or sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, that's us, who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are servants of the Most High God. They are here right now to protect you wherever you are. And if you begin to worship God wherever you are, say, thank God for my angel. You've given me my angel to protect me. Thank you, Lord God, Begin to speak the word of life over here. When you speak the word of God, they go to work. Hallelujah. They'll bring in the money. They'll bring in the business. They'll bring in the people that you need. Thank God. Let's lift up our hands wherever you are. Worship God right now. Oh, Father, I praise you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the angelic protection over our lives. I thank you. You lay a canopy over us, that we are in the protective dwelling place of your house. We are your very own children. We want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. If you're watching this program for the very first time, or if you're watching this program, you've never had a chance to be born again. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 9, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, he was sent here for the salvation of the world, that he died for you on the cross, and he went to hell for you so that you don't have to go there. He did it for you. He did it in your place. And he rose up from the dead. When he rose up from the dead, God says, we rose from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Make this prayer today. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I need a Savior. I want to be saved. Come into my heart. I am a sinner. Wash me clean with your blood. Forgive me for all my sins. I will live for you. I'll walk with you for the rest of my life. I'll go to church and I'll obey all your commands the best I know how. Connect me to people. Connect me to churches and people that I need that will help me. I thank you right now, Father, in Jesus' name, for I am now your child. You are my very own Father, my very own God. And I thank you for protection. And also fill me with your Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If you said that prayer, I want to send you this book. I wrote this book, A Little Testimony, and it gives you a plan of salvation. And you can share this with your family. Read it with your family. I give a little testimony on there, and I give scriptures on there about how to be born again, how to be saved, how to walk with God. It's called Discover Your New Life. Write me. Send me a note with your prayer request or whatever you need, and your information. I will send you this right away. Discover Your New Life. And I also want to send you the next newsletter coming out this week is going to be about protection. So I'm going to send you also a message on protection. And if you send me your address and you will let me know who you are, I'm going to send you this. I'm going to pray for you every day so you can walk with God. I know that people are being saved or got saved this morning and people are healed. Let me just pray for you right now if you need healing in your body. In the name of Jesus, stretch your hand towards your screen. In the name of Jesus, or lift your hand towards heaven, or put your hand on the area where you're sick, if it's your chest or your heart or your head, lay that hand right now. The power of God is going to hit you right now, and many people are going to be healed right now. Father, the anointing that you anoint me with, the power of God you have anointed me with, I pray in the name of Jesus to go to that person that's sick right now. In Jesus' name, I pray for the healing right now, from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. I rebuke sickness to leave that body right now in Jesus' name. And I pray anyone who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit right now, everywhere, in Jesus' name. Or those people that need a refilling of the Spirit, have a refilling, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I thank God for that. I know that you've been touched. I want you to write to me, let me know today, because I want to rejoice with you, and I want to tell God, I'm happy for you. We'll see you next time. In Jesus' name, you are protected, you are covered. Amen.